Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 214 of the Mom Hour. I'm Sarah Powers, here as always with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah.
So it is time to go to the beach and the pool.
It is.
Have you done this summer?
I've been to the beach once. So you have to understand that in Michigan, summer takes a long time to get going. And in early June in particular, like, summer is really just an idea.
Yeah.
It doesn't, I mean, and this year has been particularly rainy and chilly, so, and gray. But I think we're going to slide on into beach season starting very soon.
Well, interestingly, if you live near the coast in California, June is also notoriously gray. It's not hot. Inland, it gets hot. But I have been to the pool with my kids maybe exactly twice so far. Okay. And the beach, not like a true beach day yet. We went tide pooling and sometimes we'll go down and just go for a walk, but not the kind of beach day you're packing up for. And that's what we're talking about today. So this topic was suggested by longtime listener Michelle, who lives in the Northeast. And it was funny. She posted this in our Facebook group, like in, I want to say it was like February. And she was like, I'm just tired of winter. I want to start planning for how to take my toddler to the beach this summer. And it started this great discussion about like those wagons that you can haul and like the beach chairs that go on your back. And we thought, okay, this is definitely an episode, but let's wait until we're in it. Because sometimes with you and I, if we're talking about products and tips, it's really hard in March to remember all those things you bring
exactly.
to the pool.
And new stuff will come up on our horizon, you know,
absolutely.
As the season approaches.
So. Absolutely. So we're kind of keeping this fairly narrowly defined to your day trips to the beach or the pool. There's lots of other accessories that go along with summer. And actually, last year we did a great episode on clothes and shoes for kids in the summer. And that's like kind of a nice pairing with this one. But today we're kind of sticking close to those day trips to the beach and the pool. And I should say also that all of the products we mentioned, plus a whole lot more that we won't probably get time for that were, you know, kind of suggested by members of our Facebook group. We're going to put all of those in the show notes. So look for the links in the show notes. And we'll also throw together a blog post and put those in our Amazon store. So we'll make sure the show notes will be where to find all that stuff. And we'll make it easy on you guys. So don't worry about it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break and then we'll get into it.
We're so excited to be working with Save the Children this summer. It's an organization we both admire, and the work they're doing around kids and literacy right now is outstanding. Save the Children believes every child has the right to a basic education, but right now in our country, kids who live in poverty are starting school behind. 60% of them don't even have a single book to read at home. We know from the research that getting these kids caught up in language and literacy is key, and it's got to happen early. Save the Children's new effort is called Read a Story, Change Their Story, and it's designed to give moms like us, who are fortunate enough to have books at home and read to our kids already, a way to help kids in need. All you have to do is read with your little ones, log the reading time at savethechildren.org/read, and throughout the summer, generous organizations and partners will donate books to U.S. schools and support Save the Children's education initiatives with other resources. Now, you guys know we don't love keeping reading logs as homework, but we do love that this is an easy way parents and kids can do something they already enjoy with all the summer reading we're already doing, and then help others at the same time. If logging your minutes online seems hard, here's a tip. Set a reminder in your calendar for the last day of the month and plan to head to savethechildren.org/read and just give your best estimate for how much you've read. No need to be too specific about it. What matters is that you're reading and helping kids. And little bursts of reading really add up. 15 minutes a day, the time it takes to do a bedtime story, times 30 days will make it 450 minutes for the month of June. And knowing that the simple act of logging our reading is helping not only our kids avoid summer learning loss, but also a school and a family in need, makes it totally worth it. Get started at savethechildren.org/read. And thanks so much to Save the Children for the work they're doing for kids and for sponsoring this episode.
Okay, guys, we are well into June now and your phone is filling up with those great end of school and summer photos already. So do not miss this deal we've got going with Chatbooks because it ends on June 30th. I know, right? Get it done. The code The Mom Hour gets you $10 off, which could actually cover the cost of a whole book because their softcover books start at just $10. I love how easy the Chatbooks app makes it to create a photo book right from your phone. You can use your Instagram feed or just the photos in your phone's library. I've actually gone back and made one book per year of just my favorite, you know, 30 or 40 photos for the year. And the kids love pulling them off the shelf to look through them. They're even just the right size for little hands. They've got a 6x6 or an 8x8, so they're relatively small. The kids love to look through them. I know it seems like one more thing to do to download a new app and make a book, but I promise you guys this is easy. And the $10 deal is going to go away at the end of this month. So get the app, make a book, use that code TheMomHour, and you will thank us later. So do it, guys.
Yes. I think this is going to be my weekend project.
Yes.
Okay. So what is one of the things that we do at the beach or the pool? We sit.
Do we though? If we have a ton of little kids, do we ever
sit? You try to sit. That's the goal. So it's kind of funny to me that so many of the things that we bring to the beach and the pool are sort of centered around this idea of sitting and relaxing. And then you bring a toddler and you realize that is not the case. But I am in a phase of my life where sitting is a real thing.
I am too, actually, more recently, but I definitely am too.
And some babies and toddlers really stay put. Like you dig a hole in the sand and stick them in it and they just kind of stay there. So there is opportunity to sit.
Well, let me say this too. Even if you are like have a nursing baby and a two-year-old and you spend most of your beach or pool time running around with someone pulling your bathing suit bottoms down, the moment you get to sit, you will want to be comfortable. That's the other thing. I have tried to nurse a baby at the beach and not had like a... So anyway, it's worth sitting on something comfortable. So let's get into that. I feel like you have a thought about chairs. I actually have not found beach chairs that I love. So you go first on this.
Well, I mean, here's what I'm going to say. Beach chairs, they're all kind of the same to me. Like I have not found one that I like am gaga over. But I did finally decide to stop searching for the perfect pool beach chair because I just needed a beach chair. Mm-hmm. And it's way better to have a beach or chair at the beach than to not have one. So a couple of things for me, they had to be easy to carry. There are the Tommy Bahama ones that like go on your back as a backpack. Mm-hmm. I opted for a different brand because, and we'll link them up in the show notes, but they were just a little bit cheaper. They're King Camp is the brand.
Okay.
And they're like a sling back. So they're really comfy. They fold down really easy, which is important for me because I am terrible at folding things. like folding chairs are always a mystery to me. So I get there and I'm like, what? I don't understand what, like I sometimes struggle.
Yeah.
Like way longer than I should. And they have a cup holder and then they pack down and you put them in a bag that you could just carry over your shoulder, which isn't quite as comfortable ergonomically as a backpack, but it's a little more versatile. And like the kids can carry them pretty easily. Yeah. Not super heavy. I actually didn't get these for the beach. The interesting thing is I had another beach chair that I lost like in a move somewhere and just didn't replace and didn't replace and didn't replace. And then I was going to a concert like at an outdoor venue where you basically have to have a chair or you're going to be sitting on a blanket the whole time. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm just getting old, but very uncomfortable after a while. So I bought these for this concert and then ended up really liking them.
Yeah.
So they're simple, you know, but they get the job done.
I love it. I really need to. We have camp chairs, which are the more upright, traditional, and when we feel like we need some at the beach, we've brought them, but they're really not for the beach. There's a difference between camp chairs and beach chairs. And I've just,
well, you got to be low to the ground and then you like your legs can kind of stretch out and you can have drinks in the sand if you want. Like you just have more access to the ground. It's just better.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Well, I have a couple of thoughts on things to sit on that aren't chairs. So one is the J.J. Cole outdoor blanket. It is a picnic blanket, technically. It's water resistant. I wouldn't say it's meant for the beach, but I bring it to the beach. It is indestructible. I've had it for 11 years because I got it when Allegra was a baby. It does that thing where it folds up and then has a strap, the blanket itself. I've washed it. I have actually washed it heavy duty style in the washing machine before, but more often I hose it off and it's so water resistant that it'll just dry in the sun. So it feels clean. It just doesn't feel like it gets that grodiness of some blankets. And it's also great for eating on because you can wipe it right off if somebody spills. So it just kind of has this, it's a durable picnic blanket, but we do bring ours to the beach. And, you know, when we sit at the beach, we don't have like one perfect beach blanket. We usually have that picnic blanket. And then my kids sit on towels. They kind of like having their own real estate. So we have a lot of Pottery Barn kids towels that we've been gifted over the years and they work great. So we're not like, we're just generally spreading out towels. And then this one blanket I do really like.
I have my friend Missy has a towel or a blanket very similar to that she takes to sporting events. And every time I see her with one, I think, why am I not as smart as Missy to bring something like this to a sporting event? Because it does, like if you're sitting in damp grass, it keeps the, that dampness from coming through. And that's nice.
Exactly.
I used to just have like sheets in my back of my car that we would sit on at the beach. And a few things, it's better than nothing, right? Mm-hmm. But there were a few downsides to that. One, I felt like I was always yelling at the kids to stay off the blanket because they would just like the minute wet, sandy feet went on it, you couldn't get it off. Like it was just sand everywhere. And then shaking it off, like sand would go everywhere in people's faces and then it would never quite come off the blanket. So last year I actually got a specific beach blanket. It's the ENO. I don't know if it has like a special name, but it's ENO is the brand. I think it's like the Eagle's Nest Outfitters or something. It is light. It is like this.
That is cute.
Like parachute material. Okay. Like that, okay. You know, it's super light. It has stakes in the corners.
Oh, that's
so you can
great.
Stake it down. And when you're done, like you can, if the whole thing packs down to a bag that's about, I'm going to say 5 inches big. Like,
wow,
it's tiny. So it doesn't almost, the sand really does not stick either. The sand really comes off. And if you're around a lot of people, it's really easy to kind of ball and bunch it up and then carry it someplace else on the beach to like, you know, shake it out.
Yeah.
And it's so light that if you bring it down to the water, which is often the best place to go shake it out because there aren't as many people around, it just like lifts up in the wind. So you don't have to worry about it dragging in the water. And then even if it did drag in the water, it wouldn't matter because it's so quick dry.
Dries fast.
And it has its own bag. So it almost like, it doesn't like sand does not stick to it. But even if it did, I wouldn't care because it's in this contained bag that's not going to be all over the back of my car.
That sounds amazing. That sounds like it's going on my list. The last thing I was going to say about sitting on is last summer in our FabFitFun box, we got that Summer in Rose beach towel.
I was going to bring that up too.
I mean, it is so good. And I happened to look just so we could send listeners to the right place other than FabFitFun, which is great. But Summer in Rose has their own website and they do have some cute styles on sale right now. It looks like the one we got is sold out. But they do have some sale. And I have to admit, it was very kind of, it felt very special and indulgent to have my own beach towel. And I don't usually go swimming in the water. So it was really more of a blanket to sit on. It's like a microfiber, really thin and bigger. So it's like a cross between a thin towel and a blanket. And it just looks
cute. Perfect.
And even the kids kind of knew it was mine. I love that.
Yes. Well, and I love that. Like, so I think I've talked about my fun closet. Like, so I have a closet where I keep all of my outdoor stuff. What I love about that is if I had more than one of those, I could easily fit them all in that closet. Right now, my beach towels, I have that great beach towel. And then I have, the other ones are huge.
Yeah.
They're like, they're thick and they take up too much space. They take up too much space in the bag. And then when they get wet, they're like
wet
heavy
forever.
And they take up even more space. So I think I may actually indulge in a few more Summer in Rose towels because they're great.
Okay, so let's move on in the interest of time. We are moving on from what to sit on to what to put all the stuff in. And this is a big category. I have a couple I can start. I have two of this bag. It is very inexpensive. I think it's around $15 on Amazon. It's meant for the pool or the beach. It's a big mesh tote bag. But it's not so cheap that it's ever ripped or that it looks really junky. Like it doesn't look like a free bag you got at a conference somewhere or something like, so, I have one for our pool stuff and it always has pool stuff in it. So that would be, we're going to get into this later, but that would be like fins and goggles. Really mostly fins and goggles. I think there's a snorkel mask in there. Some pool toys. I'll get into that in a little bit, but it is pool specific. And the other one is sand toys. In both cases, if the bag itself gets wet or if there's wet suits or something in there, I just let it dry naturally. It doesn't ever get gross because it's a nylon mesh, but probably the best feature, it has this little completely enclosed small zipper pouch that's on a string attached to the bag. So it's not even, it's almost like pops out on a string and you can put your keys or your phone or your valuables
that's
in there.
Nice.
So just, I always put my car keys right at the beach. I put my car keys in there right away just because anywhere else, you know, it's like a nightmare losing car keys at the beach. So it's great. It does.
And I hate when I get sand like in the buttons on my
Yeah. So this is very protected there. And I know a couple summers ago, they had these bags in a whole bunch of colors. Right now on Amazon, it looks like there's a couple cute colors. I have one in black and one in a bright green. But I think my favorite thing is like, there's no shifting of bags with the pool or the sand toys. They're always in the same one. So that is my first one. I don't know if you have anything to put stuff in?
I have a bag that I got at the Mom 2.0 conference a few years ago. It was like part of the swag that we got. I'll link up a bag that's very
cute.
Similar in the show notes, but like it's a stand, it's an open, it's like it looks like something you would carry through a market.
Yeah, like a farmer's market.
Like a farmer's
basket
market
bag.
It's like a basket, but it stays open. It's made of straw. So it doesn't get wet. And even if it did, you could let it air dry and it'd be fine. And it's easy to see inside because it's light colored and like light comes through the cracks. And I like how much stuff I can get into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that it's a little more narrow at the bottom. So it really sits open very wide. And it's perfect. I love that. And I guess I don't really have like, I just use that. Or sometimes if I can't put my hands on it for some reason, I have this one other bag. I guess my only piece of advice would be to have a dedicated bag because there's nothing worse than having like a tote bag. Well, I'm sure there are worse things, but there's when it comes to beach related foibles, there's few things worse than getting a bunch of sand in a bag that you want to use for some other purpose.
Yeah.
And now it's got a bunch of sand in it.
And it's there forever.
It's there forever.
So I have a couple more quick bags to mention, but then I also want to talk about these beach wagons because I don't think either you or I have them, but they're very popular. But let me mention quickly a couple other bags. So I have an L.L. Bean. It's called their Boat and Tote. It's a canvas tote. It's probably the most classic kind of L.L. Bean tote look. This has been around a long time. It's that kind of preppy canvas with a brightly colored strap. Funny story, I mistakenly ordered the extra large instead of the large. And when it arrived, I was like, how is this even a tote bag? It's so large that it's like almost too big for your body to put comfortably over a shoulder. But it was a happy mistake because it works. I don't just use it for the beach. I actually would not use it for the pool because it doesn't do great if it's soaking wet. But the canvas is so thick and so durable. And it's so this particular style, the extra large, is so big that what I end up doing is using it in the trunk of my car almost as like a storage situation. And then it can pop out and put a bunch of little bags in it. And I can carry it. It's just that's probably the only thing I'm carrying because it's so big. So it has proved way more versatile than I thought. And I use it for weekend trips. If I'm too lazy to pack a tiny suitcase and we're driving somewhere, I will just put all of my stuff in that bag. It's just great. And I use it way more than I thought I would because I thought I was getting the size that's more for like a picnic. And this is too big for that, but it has worked great for the beach and it's really cute. And ours says Powers on it. And so it's kind of cute and preppy. And then the other one, I'm so glad that a listener in our Facebook group reminded me that if you have those nylon ripstop reusable grocery bags, not the boxy ones that you can buy at Trader Joe's, but these are like, they fold up really, really small, like your beach blanket. And they're made of probably similar, like a nylon ripstop. And so they're super lightweight. They dry really fast and they work great for a pool bag if you're traveling because they take up no space when they're not in use. And then if they get wet, they dry really fast. So it might be hard to picture what I'm talking about, but they're these.
I think I know what you're talking about. I know what the ripstop material is.
Yeah,
it's
and
like
they come
plasticky
in cute
stuff, right?
Kind of. It's softer than that. They come in cute patterns too. I feel like it was kind of chic to use them as your reusable grocery bags for a while.
Okay.
But now everyone uses more of the traditional kind with handles that are shaped. So anyway, if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, check the show notes link. But it was a great reminder that this is a great small pool bag. If you just need some goggles and a couple things, or if you're traveling, it's another great one.
I'm looking at your L.L. Bean bag right now.
Yeah.
And I remember that I also got one of those at the Mom 2.0 conference at one point. Like they give out the best bags, but Jenna stole it.
Oh, party foul.
I went over to her house and it was at her house. And I was like, wait a second. I'm pretty sure that's my bag, but I have so many bags. I really can't complain. So
it's really funny. Okay. So the wagons, do you know what I'm talking about? Do people
I do.
Use
okay. Can I just be
beaches?
Super honest?
Please.
They look like torture.
Yeah.
They must be great.
Okay. Here's my theory. I'm sure we have listeners being like, they're the best thing ever. And I know in our Facebook group, there's some big fans. Here's what I think happened with my family. We never went to the beach once until my kids were, because we lived in landlocked Arizona, until my kids were toddler, preschooler, and, you know, first grader. So we missed the stage where we were schlepping like babies and really tiny kids. And we didn't start regularly going to the beach until even a little bit after that, maybe 2, 5, and 7. So by that point, we had kids who could literally carry their own weight and carry their own towels and carry some of their own stuff. So I think the wagons are probably great for certain phases of family life. And I know my in-laws, like Brian's cousins, use them with their kids and they'll put like a toddler in the wagon with all the sand toys. It looks really hard to pull that thing
over
the sand.
Where we live, there's a lot of dunes. So I see moms like pulling them up over a dune and I'm just like, oh my goodness, this looks hard. But
I think there's probably, it's like that, you know, cost benefit analysis. Yeah. Like how else do you get,
how else you do it? Right?
And once you're there, you have all of the comforts of home. We're going to talk about things like shade and toys and like all the things that keep kids safe and happy at the beach. And if you're in that phase. So I think I'm going to come down on, it's probably a great idea. I just missed the phase of life where it would have really benefited us. And I agree, it looks really hard to drag it. Here, the other thing about our beaches, I just interrupted myself, but we live in a place where a lot of the beaches are accessible by either really steep ramps or stairs. You've been down to Laguna with me where you're like winding down weird.
Right.
So not all beaches are like that, but a lot of them are. So I feel like it would almost limit where you could go and access the sand. So I don't know.
Well, and I guess what is the other option? The other option is you put your baby in a sling or a backpack and you bring less stuff.
Yeah.
That's the only other option, really. If you've got a baby or a toddler and you have to get down to the beach and you don't have someone else to help you carry everything, like your options are limited anyway.
Yeah.
So maybe and you're if probably you're going to do a true day at the beach.
Yeah. And you're probably, that's what I was going to say. You're probably not going to stay quite as long in that scenario where you would need all the stuff. So what we'll do in the show notes and in our blog post is we'll link up a couple that were recommended in our Facebook group since we don't personally have the experience, but I think it's a cool idea. Just missed the boat on that one. Okay. Well, before we take our break, let's talk a little bit about shade. Is this, you are very fair with some fair children. Is this, what did you do for shade, especially when you were taking a whole bunch of kids to the beach?
So I just have a regular old, I don't even know the name. I was going to go out to the shed and look at the the label on my umbrella. And then I was like, why would I bother?
Yeah.
It's like dime a dozen.
Yeah.
I will say mine tilts, which I think is really helpful. So that you can move it around and block the sun when you want to. I am fair. I don't burn as badly as I used to. So as long as I'm careful not to just like sit, like if I was in Florida, I would be a little more careful. Mm-hmm. In Michigan, I kind of know the times I can be out without worrying too much. And my kids really don't burn too much either. Mostly I think we just don't do super long trip. So we kind of rotate under the, it's more for comfort.
Yeah.
And we kind of rotate under the umbrella as needed. But I'm not like brand specific. I only had one summer baby. Every other baby was like a crawling toddler by the time we got to this following summer, except for Clara. She was truly a summer infant and she did have a tent. And I really did like that.
Yeah.
We had one, I want to say when the other kids were little, we had something like that, but then they could just crawl out if they wanted to. And often it didn't feel worth.
Yeah.
Cause they usually wanted to.
Yeah. I know. I always see pictures of people napping their babies and toddlers at the beach and just doing these extended beach days. And I think it's great. I just didn't, like I said, we didn't have the opportunity to do a lot of that. We did a lot of swimming pools, but those were shorter outings. You would usually go home for a nap or something.
And even if you have a baby, like who you don't think will nap at the beach, give it a chance because there's something about like the fact that the baby's practically naked.
Mm-hmm.
It's warm.
White noise.
There's the white
nature's
noise.
White noise.
And they're tired out because they've been like playing in the sand and like in the sun. And there really is something about it that for a lot of babies, I think makes them sleepier.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I love that. We do have the Tommy Bahama umbrella that they sell at Costco every year. And I don't know why I waited so long to get it, but what I really like about it, it also tilts and it's not terribly huge, so I can manage it myself. I do a lot of quick trips to the beach where it's just me and the kids, which at these ages is fine, but it still ends up being a lot of stuff. And so I was a little intimidated by setting up an umbrella when I hadn't had a lot of experience doing it. And this one's just really easy and it works really well. And it's very light to carry. Reed usually is the one to carry it to the sand and he's a little guy so he can sling it in its bag over his shoulder. So if you've been eyeing that one at Costco, I think it's pretty basic, but it definitely gets the job done. In our Facebook group, a lot of listeners were recommending the more like sportbrella or tent like what's the other one, the Shade Shack. So we'll link up those, and again those come recommended but not with our own experience, but I can see how nice those would be for those longer beach days.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break and we will get back to it.
Okay, you guys, this time of year, I feel like life is crazy. And when things get like this, I really need help with menu planning and shopping. That is when I love using HelloFresh. HelloFresh does all the meal planning, shopping, and prepping for you. And they actually deliver fresh, pre-measured ingredients with easy-to-follow recipe cards that make it really easy to follow the directions. Everything comes delivered to your door in a special insulated box that keeps all those ingredients fresh, even if you aren't home when they arrive. Also, all the meals come together in 30 minutes max. They call for fewer than two pots and pans, and you don't need a bunch of measuring cups and spoons either, which makes cleanup really easy. You can choose from classic, veggie, and family plans, and they make it easy to pause delivery anytime or switch up your menu plan, like if you want to do veggie one week and family the other week. Even the simplest meals are total winners with my kids, and usually there's something easy that I can bring into my repertoire again and again. So like we recently had the Southwestern stuffed peppers, and my kids were blown away by them. So now I have this great reminder to work that recipe into my meal plan regularly. So we're going to get you guys $80 off your first month of HelloFresh. Just go to HelloFresh.com/themomhour80 and enter the Mom Hour 80 at checkout. It's like receiving eight meals free, guys, so you're going to want to do this. Again, to get $80 off your first month of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/themomhour80 and enter the Mom Hour 80.
Well, we are really excited to talk about our new partnership with Jane.com today. Jane is an online boutique daily deals retailer where, Megan, you and I continue to score amazing deals on fashion, shoes, accessories, and home decor. My sister, my much younger and hipper sister, turned me onto Jane a few years ago, and I love scrolling the app on my phone for new deals. The styles are really fashion forward, and the prices are unbelievable. And you guys know I can't resist a cute pair of shoes for like $12. All summer right now, I am wearing these rose gold flat sandals that I got on Jane. And I also recently scored a pair of linen pants with this comfy fold-over waistband for $20. If you haven't checked out Jane, use our link and you'll go right to a page with the latest deals in women's fashion. We're part of their affiliate program, which means if you make a purchase through our link, you're also helping support the podcast too. And speaking of that, Jane loves supporting women-owned businesses. So you're going to see 350 to 500 deals a day on their site. And those deals come from more than 1,500 women-owned, mom-owned businesses. So we love that. Again, you're going to go to themomhour.com/Jane, J-A-N-E, to start shopping.
Okay, so we've established that we sit at the beach when we're lucky in the pool. And that we need to shade ourselves, but and that we need to carry stuff. We've talked about all those things, but then like, what do we do when we get there?
Yeah. Well, this has been, I think a big shift for my kids in the last couple years. Cause I feel like in the beginning it was just keeping them safe and making sure no one, you know, got super sunburned or, you know, stung by a bee. It just feels like triage in the little years.
Right. Yep.
And we've really shifted to where, you know, we were talking earlier about how long beach days are intimidating in the beginning. And now it's like, oh, we really could go for 5 hours. No one would complain. No one would, you know, need a nap.
And when you can relax and like settle in, there's something really luxurious.
Yeah.
About that. I really
and
like those.
So that kind of opens the door to recreation. Like, what are we doing while we're there? So I'll mention, it seems like we've been focusing on beach. So I'll start with a swimming pool thing. And that is, I don't know why it took me so long, but on Amazon for $13, there is this grab bag of rings, little diving torpedoes. There's even these little sparkly gems that you can put at the bottom and they'll dive for them. And again, my kids weren't good enough swimmers for this to make sense for a long time. But what I love about it, again, very inexpensive. They came in a Ziploc bag that they still are in my mesh pool bag. And the pool we use most often is at our kind of gym health club. And so I think they have rules about, you wouldn't bring like floaties. You wouldn't bring giant inflatable pool toys the way you would in someone's private pool, but these are allowed. And so it just feels like that one, like when the kids are getting bored of splashing around and they've already kind of started getting tired, it feels like this extends the life of their willingness to just play with each other and other kids get involved. And it couldn't be simpler, but it was just one of those things where I was like, why don't we own a plastic bag full of pool toys? And it's been so great.
And I like that it's like there's lots because, you know, they become the most coveted thing.
Yes.
If there's not enough to go around like there's other kids at the pool who want to play too.
Yes.
And yes. Those things have a way of kind of dispersing.
Yes. And if you lose one, it's not a huge deal. But I have to say, my kids have been pretty good. It's like there's like four torpedoes. They're all different colors. So they know like, ooh, where's the red torpedo? It's in the corner of the pool over there. And there's, you know, five or six rings and then a few other things. But so simple, really good purchase. And then another great one for us has been, you know, the ball and catch mitts that are made of really strong Velcro where the ball sticks when it lands.
Yep.
So you can buy these that are waterproof. I learned the hard way that they're not all waterproof. It seemed like we had one that it seemed like would be great for the pool and then it like disintegrated in the pool. So then I looked up some that are waterproof. I will link them up and we have them in the beach bag, but if you're at a swimming pool where it's, you know, safe to throw a ball back and forth, they're also really fun in the pool. Very uncoordinated people can successfully play catch with these things. And you just stick your arm out. It makes you feel like a real like baseball player. You just stick your arm out and the ball sticks. Really little kids can play with them. We get miles and miles out of these. And they're great. Like I said, they're great at the beach. They're great at the park. And if you're at a pool where, you know, you're not going to lob somebody in the head, they are fantastic. So I will link those up too. Also very cheap. So those are a couple winners in our house.
Cool.
Anything for you?
Yeah. So, well, first of all, I just want to quickly point out that remember there was an episode we did a long time ago where I said that the pool or the bathtub is the place that toys go to die.
Yes. I love when you said that. Yeah.
But that can like almost anything can count as a pool toy or a beach toy. And yeah. I remember like cycling some like toys that were just beginning to show their wear to the pool or beach when my kids were littler. And then they would get like new life because yeah. suddenly like the Barbie doll that my kids didn't care about at all at home became something to stick in the sand and bury yes. or whatever.
Or like those cheap plastic animals, you know?
Yeah. That, yeah. Like, so almost anything can count as a pool toy. Now, some things are going to fill with water, get disgusting, mm-hmm. and then you're going to throw them away. But that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. Like these are things that you don't care about. I've like in a pinch on my way out of the house, I've grabbed some Tupperware bowls, like just anything, like yeah. anything that you can fill with water and dump or fill with sand or create shapes in sand with or whatever, mm-hmm. like any of those, anything could be a toy. So don't overthink it too much. Especially like if you're in a place where, like when you're traveling, I don't think you need to bring all your pool toys with you.
Right.
Like if you're getting on an airplane,
right?
You're going to find something at the other end.
We have played with many a plastic cup in a yes, hotel exactly. pool.
Literally like a plastic cup, like a solo cup.
Yep.
Those can be fun.
They usually have them by the pool for water. Toys. So
yep.
in a pinch.
Yeah. yeah. We didn't talk a lot about floaties, and I mean both floaty fun things
yes.
and also floaties for little swimmers who aren't
yes.
quite, you know, secure swimmers yet. So, I don't really have a super strong opinion. My kids all did the simple arm floaties for years and, you know, they're not life preservers. They're there right. to help them.
And they're not babysitters.
They're just there to kind of help them feel secure and have more fun. But we did find value in those when they were little. And then one thing I remember having when my kids were little, and I lived in an apartment complex that had a pool. This was just maybe when Isaac was a baby, was one of those mom and baby floaties where you put the baby in the floaty and then like there's a little seat for the baby.
Oh, I've
never
seen
these. And then there's like a thing to hold onto for mom.
Okay.
And it's the best.
Oh, we'll
like
have to
I would just
discover these.
I would just like lay my head on my arms and Isaac was totally entertained and, you know, would grab my hair and stuff, but he was having fun. And then I would just float. It's like you hang on. It kind of goes like around your body a little bit.
Okay, so I cannot like, even picture. I'm like having the
like
hardest
a kickboard
time picturing this.
Or
okay.
something. And you're in it. I will link it up in the show notes too.
Okay.
But like it's like mom and baby facing each other.
Okay.
Baby is completely secure in the seat. And mom's like upper half of her body.
Okay, okay,
is
okay.
Supported by a floaty.
Yes, I can see it now. I mean,
and they're
I can...
super fun. Like,
oh my gosh,
really, really fun.
That sounds really fun. Okay, well, I'm glad you brought this up because I had meant to put it in here, but we did use the puddle jumper, which is a pretty popular, it's the kind that goes all the way around their chest and on their arms for a floaty,
yeah.
only for Violet. And the reason was I was always in the water with my first two
yeah.
kids because they were little. So we were in the water together, you know, holding them and supporting them, or they were in swim lessons. There was never this like other, but Violet wanted to play with her brother and sister.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, yes, there are lots of thoughts about floaties. I would say it helped bridge the gap between, you know, safe, independent swimming and me not needing to be physically in the water all the time. Of course, I was still watching with my eyeballs, but, and it did not impair her ability to learn to swim. I know that's a concern. That's a concern that a swim teacher shared with me early on. And so I kind of worried about that. It did not. She still, you know, learned to swim properly when she was ready. So that was a good, it was a good like transition thing for us. And then just yesterday I was at the pool and I saw these newfangled, not floaties for kids who can't swim, but more like a pool noodle, except it
yeah.
was called a zoodle because it was an animal. And it was this, there was one that was like a Nemo fish and one, but they're long, like a pool noodle, but they were
yeah.
squishy and almost looked like a stuffed animal in the water, but waterproof. They were super
oh,
cute. And the kids who were using them were like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years old. They were independent
yeah.
swimmers, but they were just using them like pool noodles. And I thought they were super cute.
You know, what's funny about that with the is there anything that there's not controversy around, I swear, but with my kids, my younger two were both pool timid. Like they just were a little timid about deep, about not even deep water, water that they perceived to be deep.
Yeah.
And they were also the youngest, so they really wanted to play with their older siblings. And so, like, I think for me, it was the bridge the gap thing.
Yeah.
Like, my kids did at the age of 5 or 6 did not want me in the water holding them.
Yeah.
They wanted to be playing. And so anything that kind of made that more possible, whether it was a floaty or a pool noodle, sometimes because they could kind of swim, they just didn't quite trust themselves to do it. So something that they could hold onto and float made the whole experience more fun for them. And it made it honestly more manageable for me, because otherwise taking two kids who really don't want to swim independently to the pool with their three older siblings would be torture.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
One other thing I wanted to, and by the way, I will also say that they are both now confident swimmers.
Yeah.
So they outgrew that hesitance. And I think that making the water fun for them instead of scary, because otherwise I really think Clara would have just sat on the steps. I don't think she would have gotten in at all.
And then
so that,
you
I didn't want that.
Yeah. And like we talked about recently in our adventure episode, it would have been tasked to you to like, push, not physically push her in, but like, you know, kind of get her past that, where the floaties kind of helped just.
They made the water fun. So she wanted to.
Yes, exactly.
It wasn't me trying to convince her. I wanted to mention one other kind of floaty that isn't, I mean, it's not something that I think you would use in a pool unless the pool was enormous. No, I don't think you'd use it in a pool, and even the beach, maybe not, but like a, like an inland lake kind of thing.
Okay.
Those big lily pads.
Yes. I don't have a lot of experience, but they look really fun.
Yeah. So my kids were at a, we were at a friend's lake cottage and they went out on one. And the reason I think it works really well for like an inland lake is because they accessed it from the dock. I'm not sure how easy it would be to push it out. If you started from the beach, to push it out deep enough to climb on. Like, I don't know how that would work.
Yeah.
Maybe it would work fine. But when we did it, it's very much a lake house thing around here. And it's this huge, looks like a gymnastics mat.
Yep. I can totally picture it.
And it floats on the water, and it makes like big kids want to get in and play when sometimes they're like, whoa, you know, not into it. I think in a pool, it wouldn't work because it would be very hard. The whole point is you push everyone off.
Right. It would be dangerous because you would never be far enough from the real edge or the steps or something. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that does sound fun.
And Sarah, I did write that if you want to look in the show notes, I did link up one of those mommy and baby. Check it out really quick.
Okay,
I want to hear
looking.
What you think.
In real time.
In real time.
Oh, that's
Sarah's
really
making
cute.
A discovery. Isn't it?
Yeah.
So like, yeah, it is so relaxing and fun. And like mom and baby are having fun together, but you don't have to stand there and carry a baby the whole time.
I love that mom. Like that mom in the stock photo is awesome. I bet you look like that with your sleek ponytail.
Oh, of course I did.
Your perfect tan. And
every day. Every day. I looked like a 25-year-old, you know, a 25-year-old with no kids every day.
Yeah.
So.
That's so funny. The baby half of that looks very much like a floaty that we had for our infants in Arizona. And it just, like you said, then it's just like the mom attachment. So yeah, totally. Okay. So I want to move on, and our last couple categories are kind of, we're moving into more miscellaneous tips, but what about packing food? I have a couple, I can start if you want. I have a couple quick thoughts. One is pack more food than you think, especially if there will be access to overpriced, expensive ice cream and snacks, because
everyone suddenly is starving.
They're ravenous. They are all of a sudden so hungry. So one of my kind of goals this summer is to just stock up on some snacks that are maybe a little bit more treaty, as my kids would say, like a treat snack that we only have when we go to the pool or the beach. And that way I'm kind of meeting them halfway. Like we're bringing our own, let's say it's a bag of potato chips or something that I wouldn't just probably let them have at home, but then it feels like a treat to take it to the beach. So pack more than you think. I am so strict when we get to the beach, not the pool, but the beach, about I am the only one who goes into the food bag and I will distribute it to you. It's like I turn into this like cafeteria lady. Like you go rinse out in the ocean, get dry, sit down on your towel and put
your hands out
like Oliver Twist and I will come.
Because otherwise they put their disgusting wet sandy hands in the food and then it's ruined.
I'm so glad you see where I'm coming from here.
Yeah,
so,
no. This is not a control thing. This is like, it's disgusting.
Yes, and
otherwise.
It will ruin an entire bag of pretzels or chips or whatever.
Cheez-Its are the ones that get the most ruined. Like, because Cheez-Its, you guys like Cheez-Its? Or your Cheez-Its
I like
family?
Cheez-Its, yeah.
They somehow manage to like, not only soak up more water than you would think, but something about a Cheez-It at the beach is like the grossest thing, even though I love Cheez-Its. So, no, I'm with you on that.
Yeah,
totally.
And you do learn that certain foods are easier to get unsandy. So grapes work really well.
I was just going to say, you have to be really careful about what you pack.
Right. Like sliced apples don't work so well because a grain of sand and your kid will freak out. But grapes work great because you could splash a little water, like from a water bottle on them, and they'll rinse off. So grapes are great. I will link up, we've talked about lunch packing before. I'll link up those easy lunchbox bento boxes. I actually use them more for beach and pool days than I do for the school year because you can stack two or three, and I will pack my kids a full lunch. And then, like I said, just distribute at mealtime with, you know, much strictness and pomp and circumstance. So that was that's my main thing.
Yeah, that's what I do too, except a little bit differently. So I use those little simple fold over sandwich bags.
Okay.
And I individually portion stuff typically if I have the time. If I don't have the time and I just grab a big thing of grapes and a box of crackers, then I just have to do the work. I have to do more work.
Yeah, and more sand.
And more sand. Exactly. But otherwise, then the kids kind of are in charge of their own portion. So if they want to get sand in it, then that's, I guess, their business. Okay. So I like to treat a day at the beach as like a full experience. I tend to bring a book and magazines and food and all the different things. And one of the things I love to have is music. So I bring a mini speaker. We have a boom speaker that's kind of, it's waterproof, which makes it nice for the beach, but it's kind of big and heavy in the bag. But they have one that's actually small and kind of made for being more portable and to take to places like that. So I will link that up in the show notes. It's called the Boom Swimmer Duo. It's dirt proof, shock proof, waterproof.
Oh yeah, that is a great idea. I love that. Everything is better with music. So lastly, I put this on our outline and I realized you said you didn't really have any, but I have a few fails that are just things we have bought to go to the beach or pool and thought they were going to be great and they didn't work out so well. So listeners, you will have to let me know if maybe you disagree. But the first one, this was all my husband. He found a mesh beach blanket that supposedly doesn't get sandy, which like, why would you go to the beach if you don't want to get sandy? I mean, we've discussed that it's best to keep sand off the blanket if possible, but this is almost like a contraption. And it's basically two layers of kind of uncomfortable mesh. And the sand supposedly gets through the bottom layer, but as they kind of rub up against each other, it never gets to the top layer. It's almost like sand resistant. So Brian got it. We've kind of laughed about it. I just feel like it's one more thing to take to the beach to solve a problem I don't really have. So that was one. And then I don't know about your kids, Megan, but my kids think they want to snorkel. We went to Hawaii a couple of spring breaks ago. They kind of practiced. And so we bought a snorkel set that, you know, wasn't like super cheap and nobody ever uses it. It weighs down the swim bag. So I'm not going to say it's a fail because maybe we'll get into snorkeling at some point. But I feel like there's like 4 or 5 parts and pieces. And who wants to wear a snorkel mask? Nobody wants to wear a snorkel mask. It's uncomfortable. They don't like that it covers their nose. So that is just kind of weighing down the bag, literally. And then lastly, remember those mermaid tails were kind of fun for a while. So it's if you're not familiar, it looks like you can turn yourself into a mermaid. It's a swimsuit material that you pull on and there's kind of plastic fins at the bottom. And I think they were made for Instagram, maybe. They're made to look really cool. They're very hard to get on. They're not cheap. And we did get Allegra one. And I think it's been used like once. Also, they're not allowed at all pools. So that was also kind of a fail because they weren't allowed at all the pools that we were able to go to. So those were things that were total strikeouts in my family.
Okay, that is so fascinating. I've been really curious about those mermaid tails. But to me, they feel like once you have them on, I would start to panic and feel like if I didn't move my body a certain way, I would just sink. So yes. I'm actually not surprised that some pools don't allow them.
Yeah. Okay, so before we wrap up, we are doing what we've been doing every Tuesday the last few weeks, and that is our Cue It Up segment where we recommend another episode for you to go listen to right now. Now, typically we recommend one of our oldie but goodie episodes from our archives, but lately we have been shining the light on fellow podcasters in the kind of parenting space that we're in. So today I want to make sure you guys are listening to What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood. Amy and Margaret are good friends of ours. We've talked about their show many times. They are both comedians and moms of three. They are very funny, but they also have very different personalities, kind of like Megan, you and I do. They won the 2018 Iris Award for Podcast of the Year. They also have a hilarious live show that's touring the country, so you should definitely check out if Amy and Margaret are coming to a town near you. It would make a super fun mom's night out. So you can find What Fresh Hell Podcast wherever you are listening to the Mom Hour, or you can go to whatfreshhellpodcast.com and check it out.
Yeah, definitely check out Amy and Margaret. They are so fun and we love their show. Well, this has been really fun, Sarah. I love talking about going to the beach and the pool. It makes me want to go to the beach or the pool. And I hope that everyone enjoys the suggestions that we've gave. We would love to hear from you too, if you have suggestions and products to recommend. And we'll talk to you soon.
I'm Margaret Abels. I'm a mom of three, and I'm kind of like a laid back, I'm sure everything will work out just fine kind of a mom.
I'm Amy Wilson. I'm also a mom of three, but I'm a little more of a planner, a header, expert researcher, think about it all really hard kind of mom.
You're a book reader. You love your books.
I love my books.
Together, we host the What Fresh Hell Laughing in the Face of Motherhood podcast,
where every week we take our totally opposite parenting approaches and solve a parenting dilemma. We've solved travel sports.
We've solved picky eaters.
Yes.
We've solved keeping your marriage alive while living with small maniacs, which was an important one.
That was very important. And we do it all with a little advice and a lot of laughs, plus some interviews with the experts.
You can subscribe to What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you get your podcasts.
Or you can find us at whatfreshhellpodcast.com.